We're on.
Good. All right. So welcome everybody. Happy New Year. So various kind of announcement type stuff, and just wanted to cover at the beginning. So the membership hasn't changed. Chanel's, many of you may know, I don't know, all of you know, is still staying on with the committee, and she will be representing now Councilmember Allen as the Judiciary Committee Chair, Judiciary and Public Safety Committee Chair, renamed. Paul Butler is Gambia, I believe. I had some email contact with him, but yes, he cannot be here in person. And Helder Gill also had a last late kind of conflict as well. So so it's just the four of you today. Various other things to share. One, if you haven't seen it, the agency website is up. So that's what it looks like. It's CC.
You guys don't work there.
I was going to say, is that what this looks like?
So this is a.
I left the window.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you saw me.
It's surprisingly like
Miami or something.
Nice. So Michael, I will say this is a stock photo. Michael had striven to exercise his artistic spirit and went down, actually took some photos himself that we thought we would use. But of course, you know, for months they had like construction tape on the front, yeah. And like, you know, we're doing repairs.
Because the tax thing isn't in front of there.
So, yeah, so I don't know what date this is.
It doesn't look like that anymore.
You know, there's one, like, I suppose if you could blow it up and see what exactly that make of car is. It looks a little. Anyway, this is our website. Compliments of Octo, they put together
a
stock
nice.
Photo. What I wanted to point out, besides the lovely photo, is that, you know, the documents are up here. Like, you know, if you ever need a copy, you know, like, anything that we send to you all becomes public record for, if it's, you know, basis for discussion at a meeting. And so they're posted up here.
When does what we submit get posted up there?
Yeah, that's less clear. You know, if you have
when you figure it out, let us know.
If you have strong feelings about that, let me know. Right. You know, we're supposed to collect this. It's public, you know, comments are public record, and we have to submit them to the council. How quickly that goes up, in what form, where, so you know, to be.
Well, I would simply say that, you know, of course, I think that we should comply. Not we anymore. You, the commission, should comply with any applicable sunshine laws. But I will tell you, I think you know that it was a concern of the U.S. Attorney's Office that while we were a subcommittee of the formal commission, these meetings were not technically public. And we believed it allowed us a forum where we could speak fairly freely and reach compromise in a way that not just was preliminary, but we expected to hew to exactly, if not extremely closely. We do have concerns that we are now being asked to submit comments on things that are not necessarily in a forum where they are even being submitted to the council. And so it does present some concerns for us. And you will see that the nature and the manner in which we present comments is affected by that.
Sure. Any other thoughts or comments? One thing I would note, too, so it also posts the meeting schedule for the year, I know, right? Everybody hopefully has it squared away now, but the meetings are up there. It gets updated, yeah. So it's just like a useful place to check on, you know, if needed. There's a public comments section. You will be shocked to know that there have been no public comments as of yet. But it does get monitored, and you know, we're certainly interested in hearing what folks may have to say about these. There's a on the about section. It gives your designations and you know says here are the advisory group members. This is what had been sent around before via email. Lists URL's name. DC Criminal Code. Right now it just has you know we may put up more on this, but right now it just has a link to that online DC Council, although that's, you know, whatever, not the most up to date, but it's good but not great. So anyway, just want to let you know that's there as a resource. And what else? A few other things. A little update on the data request I've mentioned before and will mention again. We've received nothing from the Sentencing Commission going on 2+ months now. Over 2 months ago, the request kind of clearly said, you know, if there's any part you object, please send over what data you don't object to. The response from Judge Weisberg, Chairman Weisberg, was to say that because the courts are I'm paraphrasing, that the commission is ultimately depends on the court for this information, the matter had been referred to, of our entire request, had been referred to the courts. No specification as to how this timeline, what procedure, what's going on there. I will say I fairly recently had a meeting with Chief Judge Moore, and this was one of the matters we discussed, the data request, and I expect he was aware of this issue, that they're to some degree, we'll see what follow-up there is. At this point, I don't have a timeline, I don't have a commitment from either the Sentencing Commission or Superior Court.
Is there something fundamentally different about this request from the various requests that are reported in the commission that, you know, we get updated on?
You bet. I don't know, because I don't actually know what those other requests really entail. In fact, one thing we initially asked for was a copy of whatever other stuff you've like given out to the public, and that got pushed back. So I said, hey, that I don't want to be distracted by that, so it might be something that you could FOIA, but we won't
answer that. I thought we got a list at the last meeting.
Maybe at the Sentencing Commission.
What had been given out recently.
Right. I don't know. Those materials were not, you know, all put up. I haven't looked at that. What I will say is this, you know, our request, it is big in the sense that it is not going to, I don't think, require, I think it will require less effort than virtually all the requests they got, because all we're asking for is the kind of search query, you know, enter the search query into the grid, it pulls out the data set, hands us the data set. It doesn't require analysis of the Sentencing Commission. So, the scope of data that's requested is probably larger, I'm not sure, than what, you know, some of these other requests have been. But I don't think the administrative time, the administrative burden is actually less. I haven't been able to get a response, though, frankly, from the Sentencing Commission about what exactly it is they object to. I'll say this too, you know, and I'm happy to meet and talk more about this. I don't feel like it's worth taking up your time at this point. I will flag though that, you know, if we can't resolve this in the next 2-3 weeks, you know, we'll do what we can to take it to another level and see other powers that be want to like kind of weigh in on this. And it may be that, like, you know, those of you on the Sentencing Commission, we ask for your help in securing at least kind of information, what's going on, right? Like when we're the limited responsiveness that we've got from the Sentencing Commission. But I'm hopeful, having met with Chief Judge Morin, and that apparently was where Judge Weisberg had, again, referred this matter to the court. I'm hopeful that now we can get things moving again. But we'll see. So stay tuned. But for now, we have essentially, you know, like I said, it's been a couple months now with no data. Even like uncontroversial things and things that clearly the Washington Post was given. So so there's that.
Didn't that contend in the last meeting that didn't come from them?
That didn't didn't...
That data, there was some discussion of that, yeah.
Some...
What was that? I think there was a contention that it didn't come directly from them. Certainly
some data definitely did.
Seems like it
come
had
from.
To have.
It
but
did.
I can swear that's what.
But the
was being
Post
suggested.
Also, I think, got stuff directly
right.
somehow
from
the
court.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And,
yes.
And somehow they had, it sounds like, my read from the outside, is been able to took some deep, what was supposedly to some degree de identified information, done their own research.
And then could look
the court,
at the.
Combined
right.
it together, built their own software. And been able to perform some analysis, which also that analysis was never published, or you know, like the final results of that. So like various pieces of that kind of not fully in view, but that's just my take on things. All right, a few other things. So right, we have the website. Notices, at the very least, also right now are going up on the DC Office of Open Government website, which is hosted by BEGA, the Board of Ethics and Government Accountability. And BEGA, the ethics portion, would love to do a training for us this year. I will inquire about dates for that, and I'll also inquire about those of you who have been through such a training before. Through some other, you know, one of your many other hats, whether you need to do it again. But just, that will be happening sooner than later. I'll try to schedule it. It'll be during one of our regular meetings, try to crunch it in and quickly cover that material. Schedule-wise, right, just want to highlight again, this Friday, we extended the deadline for the kind of the enactment plus type first report to this Friday.
Sorry, you extended the deadline.
Yeah.
From the
December.
Yeah,
from
today.
To
no, Friday.
Friday.
Damn.
Well, I will
Gold
say
star.
This.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Good for you.
Here, I'm going to get some pseudonym.
No, I'm sorry.
Whatever you call it.
I have some if you want.
I'm going to be in no
place.
I'm yeah, just going to slide down this way.
Let me just say, I've had this for like 2 weeks now. So I can't imagine that I could still be infectious, but I can't get rid of it.
I'll stay by phone.
I thought you were just trying to avoid me.
No,
I've had this for 2.5 months.
I was like, just say, I don't want to have lunch with you. You don't have to be like, I'm sick,
I'm so sorry.
I can't go.
I'm so sick. I woke up with an earache that morning, and I was so excited.
You were not
lunch.
The only one who missed because you were sick. It's like just Tony Axum, I think, was out.
And then
yeah.
I'm laying there.
And Catherine was
bed,
like.
Literally, with this
right,
thing
on
bed.
Drugs.
It's so dirty. I never put this on my bed. Waiting for you guys to call me about revenge porn. And you never call.
Oh.
So then I finally just like lost consciousness.
Oh. It got kicked to the next
yeah,
meeting.
Yeah, sounds like I
okay. I'm hoping to get you away from the memo by still be tomorrow.
Great.
It might come in Monday, Friday morning.
Great.
Well, do you want these?
Yes, maybe hold off, maybe just 1 minute, or, you know, I just want to go over the schedule before kind of like seeing then if there were any questions or comments, because again, so far we haven't received anything.
You just wanted to say that because she's trying to hand it to you.
I know. Well, no, she's trying to hand it. Renata will be the first. Totally. Kudos to Renata.
You have no idea the threats.
I have no idea.
Uttered.
We'll find out when the indictment comes down.
I know, because they will prosecute.
I
who cares about accusing?
So, thank you, and I do want to discuss anything, you know, including any of the comments. If there's anything particularly that, like, look, the goal with that was obviously, as you know, basically a narrower subset in almost every respect than what had previously done for Enactment Plus, which was aiming for our consensus recommendation. So, you know, that's what we're aim to do here, and I'm hoping it's only kind of technical or kind of like stylistic stuff. But if there's anything substantive, you know, Renata, Dave, anybody that you want to raise today with this group, great. You know, the hope is You know, if it's very minor stuff that needs to be tweaked for a second draft, we can turn that around very quickly here in the next week or two. And you know, I haven't discussed this since the turnover in the council with Janelle as to like the timing on their end. But you know, this piece is kind of a whole separate thing from a lot of the rest of the materials. And so how quickly they may want to proceed, how quickly we might want to send that on to them, I need to follow up still with the new committee, as it were, and kind of see what their thought is about that.
So you're going to send these things piecemeal on some review?
We'll have to have a vote just for the enactment plus portion, this first report.
Function as its own standalone.
Yeah. So that was the thought. Just this piece would go on and kind of clear the way, right? Like, hey, you know, if in the next year they enact Title 22, for instance, everything subsequent is going to be easier. So, you know, and so, yeah. That's the thought there. Again, I will recirculate to you in the next week or so whatever comments we get. So that you all have them. The next advisory group meeting is right now, pull it up there. It's for February 1st, Wednesday, February 1st. You know, it may be, if depending on what the comments are on this first report, it may be that is ready. You know, we just kind of accept what's been said and are able to turn that around and have a vote on it. Maybe not. Maybe that's going to take some more time. I'm not sure. But then the main option or item for discussion at the next meeting on February 1st will be in the same. This second report starts to go into general provisions. We'll talk about it also today. Later in February there are some other dates. Send out the reminders. But you know, February 15th, comments due on that second report, first draft of the second report.
So we'll meet on it February 1st, and the comments will be due February 15th.
That's right. Yep, the first draft. And you know, like I expect there to be a second draft of that, which you know, we'll see. Like I don't know how significant the comments are going to be.
But does it exists now? Is there anything else you get to do to it?
To the what was in that second report?
So that you could send it to us the same way you did the phase one thing packaged up for review. In other words, I need it as soon as possible.
Wait, these are what's really today's meeting about?
Right. You mean the remainder of the general part? In other words, what we sent out in December, was is on the, you know, the agenda for today is this portion here, the which is the I have the Word document, that'll be quicker. This document. That's right, you know, so that piece.
So this is what you want the comments on for February 15th.
That's right. Then, you know, as we are able to finish the first draft on the other pieces of the general provisions, we'll get those out. I expect that by the end of February, we'll be able to have the other pieces together and out to you. But this was the first one, and in some sense, if you've been able to look at it so far, you know, it has the mental state definition. It kind of hits a lot of the core stuff. And so we wanted to get that out first. And again, like I say, I expect this will probably have a second draft that might go through another iteration. There might be some very, you know, substantive changes. I'm not sure what you all may have to say about it. So,
all right, and this is all that we have at the moment. There's nothing else that's been submitted for review.
Right. So right now it's the two first report one, which was kind of the enactment plus piece,
right.
And then this report two, which is named for chapter, what will end up being kind of chapter two of the general part. The other.
And is this part of phase one? I just want to make sure my nomenclature is
talking about these rules, right?
Is this all? Because I've called the enactment plus.
Yes, phase one. That's right. Okay. In the kind of like initial kind of draft plan I sent out, right? It kind of divided things up into a phase one, which was kind of the enactment plus update. Okay. Phase two, which was general part. But you know that's going to have different pieces within the phase two, and that was the first piece of it. Like I said, the remainder we hope to get out here in February for the phase two. Phase three then kind of hits with the specific offenses. Probably expecting that basically this spring, summer, May, June, starting to come your way for the first pieces of it, and that'll extend a while, right? The specific offenses obviously take a while, and on the back end is. Phase four on penalties. So in terms of like overall flow, right, that was the breakout. I think that's it for anything I would announce. Let me say too, while I think it's important to have time for the constraint discussion and cognizant of Renata's comment about the kinds of conversations maybe that can happen in the group on record atmosphere. I would encourage anybody, like if you have questions or want to talk about any other piece, we're always available to meet. And so as things go along, earlier on, it helps us kind of formulate things. Look, the process is there to make sure at the end of the day, everybody has, a voice, that everything keeps moving along. But from a workflow perspective, the sooner we can hear the concerns or questions, the better. The official comments have to be written per the process, but any informal questions, something you just want to talk through, something that's unclear, please don't hesitate to give us a call. All right, all that said, turning to chapter two, the enactment plus piece in the first report, we weren't planning to talk about this anymore other than to address any questions and or, it sounds like Renata has
We can do this, and we can so people can understand where we're coming from. And I don't know what I was thinking. I don't think I printed enough copies, so let me give you one.
Okay.
Let me give everybody here one, and then let me see if we can share with staff. These first two issues are just things we want to point out. My understanding is that we agreed that what we're trying to do is clean these things up. We have a uniform system of approach and elementizing. And that we had developed this language that we put in here to say, this is what we're intending and not intending by doing it this way. That we're just moving it, and all of its legislative history and all that good stuff is coming in with it. We just want to make it clear that notwithstanding that, there's still a view that we hold that, we believe that those cases that are being cited reflect a past approach that the D.C. Court of Appeals was taking, and notwithstanding that the current approach is that they look at the plain language. So I can't emphasize enough, while this was sort of my instinct on it, appellate has now confirmed that we still may find ourselves in a position where, we're opening ourselves up to litigation. It's not going to necessarily be the other way. And maybe that's what some people completely understand. I want to make sure that the record is clear on that.
Before you go on, one of the comments you made in my office is that paragraph that establishes that is not actually given a section number. And the recommendation will be that if you want that to be included in the code, that it should be redrafted into the bill with its own section number, or you know what I'm saying, so that it is actually a provision in the code.
Sure.
And is it your and that'll be one of our recommendations.
That is also to address be put that in the code.
Yes, it's got to be. That's exactly to address our point.
Okay.
It still may lead to Court of Appeals arguments, but if it's not in the code, I think it, let me rephrase it, to put it in the code, I think, increases the weight of that argument. But you'll get that, you'll get a paragraph from us on that.
Great.
That makes sense to me. The second one, with respect to the final paragraph on page 18, sort of follows up on that. And the point is that finally, you know, we probably will find ourselves in a situation where the court may say, well, yeah, it's the statute as it's been interpreted at the time of enactment. And I think that my view is clear that, for the most part, our view is, you know, we're okay with that. We are where we are. The things that are favorable for us are the things where the court's gone otherwise. But we want to make that clear that, you know, we get it. And then finally, in connection with the common law offenses list, you know, we don't have an objection to codifying those offenses where they only appear with a penalty. But, you know, I think that we need to decide and come to an agreement as to an approach to elementizing those. And it's our view that, you know, we have some guidance from our jury instruction committee, and that at least as an initial matter, that ought to be the place that we begin to look. And finally, on relocation, you know, we talk in particular here about relocation of some of the evidentiary provisions, and I say in particular because it's beyond those. But we need to be really, really careful when we do that. And we can decide how we're going to do it. We are recommending strongly that there be explicit cross-references maintained in Title 22, and that we'll be moving things out into these other titles. That, you know, maybe you're going to have to tell the council we've got some reorganization to do beyond Title 22, because it's a mess. And, you know, things ought to be within those titles organized in some kind of logical fashion, like sex stuff ought to be together. Reporting obligations, you know, it ought to have some rhyme or reason to it. And so the example we've given is the evidentiary rule that goes to the inadmissibility of prior sexual conduct. You know, you don't want those things to get untangled. They make sense to be there together on the one hand, you know, but so you've got to do something so there's an acknowledgement of the way that people practice, and frankly, the way they ought to practice. That stuff ought not be hidden. This is not to hide stuff. This is to give notice to lay people, and certainly to practitioners. So those are our points.
Thank you. Anybody want to comment or
in here, you can have that.
Any of those two?
Thanks.
Oh, and there's one more point. These are minor things. On page 18, it's sort of that paragraph lots over. It says, in the proposed enactment legislation, in flatly states, the N is a mistake. It just, legislation flatly states. You want to strike the word N, I-N. On page 8, I'm actually looking at the page.
Oh, is that the actual
the report?
Report.
And then another minor thing is two paragraphs down from that, the one that I just talked about that starts by adopting this language in Appendix 9. There just needs to be a comma after the long numeral 9. Minor edits.
I'm sorry, in that last paragraph.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot you had it.
No.
Right after the Roman numeral.
That's what you're looking for. Okay.
You know, just so you know, people recognize the extraordinary work that you have done on this, and it's generally not objectionable.
Thank you, and thank you, and you know, look forward to any other comments. We may follow up, especially if you know if there's getting conflicting comments. We'll definitely try to follow up and, like, you know, suss out, like, how to solve this. I mean, frankly, right. It sounds like the major piece is going to be, again, the language about interpretation of this, right, and what's being laid out for the Court of Appeals. And, right, there might be fundamental limits to what anything, frankly, whether in the statute or the bill or anything, you know, once it goes to the Court of Appeals, they, in practice, if not also in law, have a lot of ability to construe things differently than we might expect. So we'll do our best. I would say, too, like, look, it's been a while since we've had a conversation with the Council's Office of General Counsel, which is normally responsible for enactment of titles. We will revisit this with them. And, you know, I think Renata, your point in particular about saying, hey, these other, you know, Title 23, Title 24, 24 is unenacted, you know, 23, I guess, is. But, like, you know, with a stroke of a pen, Title 24 could have significant changes if the Office of General Counsel wished it. You know, they're in charge of S22 organization. So,
we have to think carefully about if you know, it sort of presents a little bit of a tricky situation, because we enact Title 22, then we go back and tweak Title 22 is the order that has to come in. So let's just say that when you tweak Title 22, what you're doing is, I guess, to get some of that stuff out of there and into the other titles, you actually repeal them, right? So then you've got, it's hard for me to imagine how this happens, and some of it almost has to happen simultaneously. Otherwise, it kind of disappears. There's like this gap period. You've almost got to know exactly what you're doing so that now you're doing Title 14 and 24. It's got to be timed just right, and you got to know it. You got to see the end of it before you can do it.
That's right, Andy. And it poses, you know, whatever pending legislation, you know, how that's going to be, you know, and, you know, whenever this gets taken up by them, and they may, I don't know. Council might not act at all on it, for all we know, but or it might move slowly through the Office of General Counsel. But the timing of that, key, their being sensitive to the organizational issues, you know, again, conforming amendments aplenty, and you know, and it's tough, right? Like, on the organizational front, I know when we initially brought this to you all, you know, there were not a number of issues where you all shrugged your shoulders about, you know, I don't know where else this should go. And so there's just going to be some judgment calls, some tough judgment calls made. But again, ultimately, those are on Office of General Counsel and make the recommendations. But any other questions or concerns on this at this point? I look forward to any other you know, comments or responses. Our thanks to U.S. Attorney's Office for being the first in the queue here. It's just a day or two for other folks. All right, well, if there's nothing more on that, we thought we'd just kind of turn to the what went out in the latter half of December with the starting on the general provisions and that discussion. Michael's just gonna say a short kind of overview of what it's doing. But again, you know, most of these matters are ones that we worked on a little bit before, but they're weak. So. Michael, let you give an overview.
There were two documents distributed in December. The first was memo number 2, which provided a brief overview of a comprehensive general part. For the most part, nothing in that memorandum would be new to you guys. A lot of stuff we've discussed prior sort of explains basic functions that comprehensive general part serves. discusses the central role that a comprehensive general part has had in pretty much all modern criminal code reform efforts, and explains some of the benefits that accrue from adopting a comprehensive general part, including minimizing litigation, more consistent judicial interpretations, better notice, among others. The only maybe two things worth noting from that memo, one, there's an in-depth discussion about the costs that the absence of a comprehensive general part in the district, or any other jurisdiction for that matter, has had, which is a brief discussion of simple assault, which is an offense that in the district over four decades, still hasn't fully resolved basic issues of mens rea, and which is just the kind of issue that a comprehensive general part is well situated to decisively resolve and avoid the inconsistent outcomes that can proliferate in light of those kinds of problems. And the second is just a quick overview of some DCCA case law, particularly case law from the last few years, which has pretty clearly endorsed the importance and virtues of element analysis, and disclaimed the old style version of offense analysis and the distinctions between general intent, specific intent crimes. So with that all in mind, the more important document is the report, which has about eight general provisions, which viewed collectively would constitute the heart of the element analysis implemented in the revised criminal code. So I should just say at the outset, staff's overarching goal in putting these together was trying to come up with a framework that would enable the council to clearly and comprehensively communicate the culpable mental states governing each offense, and in a manner likely to be consistently interpreted by the courts, and also using language plain and simple enough that juries would be able to understand and apply them when asked to do so. For the most part, these general provisions are very similar to what the Subcommittee on Code Revision had produced, but there are also some important differences. Some of the differences...
Before you go on.
Sure.
Can I just ask, I probably should have asked this before. When we get a memo, and then we get a report within 2 days of each other, and you want a response, are we responding to the report only? To the memo in the report? I mean, if we disagree with something in a memo, even though it doesn't impact the report, to the extent that it could be legislative history at some point or something else, I just wanted to see how you envision these responses, because in the thing I'm preparing for tomorrow or Friday, I actually only reviewed the report, not the memo. And
that's
when you brought up the memo, it started raising questions in my mind.
That's right. And your interpretation is correct. I will confirm it. That you're being asked to only on the report. Here I put up on the screen. So on the report, the second page kind of describes a bit this process. The report. Now sometimes the report, as in the first one, has appendices.
Yeah.
Right. So there. Right.
They, no, but that's a little. That's a little different.
Right.
That's part
right.
of the unit.
Exactly. But as a nomenclature and a kind of naming convention, what we've kind of said is because the statute talks about draft reports. So what we've styled is anything in the report or its appendices are the things that we're asking for your review on, and those are the same documents that then would get the final version of it voted on and then go on to the council. Memoranda, purely for your own, some additional information for you all as you face, at least some of you, in-house questions. Maybe it'll help with that. There will be some, looking ahead, there are just some places where, we can give some additional background or context that the reports, and you kind of see here already where it's the statutory text comment, and those comments, some of them are more in-depth than others. They try to address the kind of statutory things we've been asked to look into, but with an eye to the fact that, we don't want to say get into too much detail in something that is going to be handed on. It might become, part of legislative history. versus these memos, which are just for you all. And hey, but that's not to say that if you see something in the memo that raises a question, you know, do bring it to our attention. And, you know, so you're certainly welcome.
I could foresee disagreeing with legal research in a memo, but not necessarily disagreeing with the conclusion it's reached in a report.
That's right. That's right, and that's just fine. But what we wanted to do with the reports, you know, something we didn't kind of have before, we worked a lot to get agreement just on the language, but then, you know, previously we had the memos, which were like, well, you know, again, right, people might disagree about, you know, research in the memos. They were able to come together on the statutory language, but like the background might have been very conflicting. Here, we're trying to put together the reports that have both the comment, the context, at least as we think it should, this much we you know, agree to, or at least, you know, can recommend and send forward onto the council. So it's clear what will go on. Only the reports and their project.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. The memo is, you know, primarily there are other people on the advisory group who haven't, you know, don't have background, so it's, you know, hopefully something will be useful for them to pick up on. So anyway, so yeah, the primary basis for all these general provisions, as with the last set, is the Model Penal Code. That being said, none of the general provisions, I don't think a single one, is identical to any provision in the Model Penal Code. One reason for that is the Model Penal Code was written in 1962, and over the past few decades, there's been a mountain of case law and commentary and scholarship highlighting and underscoring some of the problems with the Model Penal Code, and there have been proposals for revisions that would enhance various aspects of it. And then also some of our own prior discussions at the subcommittee level were pretty illuminating in seeing ways that things could be simplified or fine-tuned. Just note that this is consistent with the commission's mandate, which says that the commission shall review recent criminal code reforms adopted by other jurisdictions and recommend changes to criminal offenses by the American Law Institute and survey best practices recommended by criminal law experts. A second area of departure, though, with some of the Model Penal Code approach is district law. So we've generally tried to preserve to wherever possible and not otherwise inconsistent with other statutory mandates, district law. In this area in particular, typically at most you have broad contours and the details haven't really been fleshed out in the case law. So in that respect, there's a lot of gap filling that's happening, but generally speaking, there's a correspondence, and that in some areas required some departures from the Model Penal Code. I'd say one notable feature of these general provisions is the commentary, which is pretty extensive. I mean, I think probably the draft language is combined, maybe, you know, 6 or 7 pages, for the document's 82 pages. So there are really three components to the draft, to the commentary. The first is explanatory note, the second is relation to district law, and third is relation to national legal trends. The first two are probably most important. All three are based on the commission's statutory mandate. The explanatory note, typically 1 or 2 paragraphs, trying to provide an explanation of what oftentimes is otherwise very abstract and general principles, what they're supposed to mean, how they're supposed to operate. Two features kind of pervade the explanatory notes. One is, in many cases, there are fact-specific illustrations that help to flesh out the intended meaning of the general provisions. And the second are explanatory factors. So in a lot of situations, there'll be a broad moral principle, like, for example, in recklessness, the requirement of a gross deviation, which raises a question, what does a gross deviation mean? While there's no specific concrete rule for explaining that, what commentary and case law have clarified that you can at least come up with the factors that might be brought to bear on that, thereby providing juries with some concrete instruction and helping to facilitate the more uniform interpretation and application of these laws. So that's one. Those are two things that the explanatory notes focus on. Then in terms of the relation to district law, we tried to be as careful and accurate as possible in terms of assessing what that the impact and relation would be. There's a specific part of the commission's mandate which talks about explaining how and why district law would be changed, particularly in those areas where district law would be changed or where the gap being filled in is more significant. We really tried to explain how and why that would occur. It's kind of just a general overview.
Maybe chime in too there and mention like that this style of commentary we're planning to continue forward through all portions of the revised code. So now, except the general part, obviously, the commentary is just a lot longer because it's dealing with these like a lot of it's new and like you know it just like you know if you're moving from the you know specific intent, general intent to you know, this whole new framework, it just requires a lot more discussion. When it comes to theft, it'll still be these same categories, but it may just be a couple sentences, right? It might be, we want to highlight in district law, right, well, this would affect, you know, this one particular case, or we want to make a clear statement that, like, this is not intended to affect these types of, you know, very... when it comes to specific offenses, this will be commentary will be much more limited. And this is again kind of what we've seen in other jurisdictions that have done this. You know, when there's a lot more commentary that they produce on their general part because it's more abstract. It's often new to the jurisdictions when they're first adopting it, and specific offenses, much less required. So. going forward, that would be the similar.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, no, so that's basically it. I mean, we'd be happy to discuss any particular aspect.
Yeah, we weren't sure at this point, since comments weren't, you know, just finishing up on the other, we weren't sure how much people may or may not have, like, looked at these materials. And, again, so you know, we're happy to discuss NEPs today as a group. We'll have the next meeting also, if there's any issues you want to discuss as a group, and we're always available to kind of discuss things individually. I would echo or kind of highlight one thing that Michael said, which is, in going back through this, we did try to like further simplify things a bit. A lot of it's similar, you know, like, fine. Conduct, requirement, act, omission, this is all very, very similar to what you saw before.
I think the definition of recklessness and negligence would be a good example. Given the importance that they play in a criminal code, but also what the sort of standard modern approach looks like, we really tried to focus hard on what was essential and what was kind of, you know, additional in terms of the definitions. And then also, you know, the situation can arise where a general provision might be drafted in a particularly lengthy way to address like a very specific type of outlier case. In some instances, the better approach would be to just specifically address that in the explanatory note, but to keep the statutory text itself as succinct as possible, because after all, that's what the juries are going to be applying. So
maybe you recall, right? Like in recklessness, right? You know, the actual definition of recklessness in the model penal code is lengthy. That's replicated in a lot of states, just verbatim or almost verbatim, take the model penal code definition. It's clunky. A number of states have tried to improve it because it's so clunky. We, in our discussions last time, and I know, Dave, you were one too, who was like, you know, do we need all this kind of additional verbiage? And so we tried to reduce it now. And so what you get is, kind of what's up here. Obviously we explained it in the text more, but, the key is just being aware of substantial risk.
Let me just ask a question.
Yeah.
I read this in December, and quite frankly, I didn't realize we'd be doing it now, so I don't recall it as... in the memo, to the extent that this is not what we had consensus on under the former iteration of the commission, I don't recall, do you highlight those changes in the memo?
Mm-hmm. No.
I need to see that.
Yeah, that was...
It is way too hard for to go back and do my own, like, compare. I just need to be pointed out.
Yeah, I didn't remember it, and that's why I asked the question, because if I knew where it was changed, then I could go back, look at what we had agreed on with some confidence, because I had thought those provisions through, and I could look at the change. Without the changes, I literally have to go through every provision to see what words have been altered, and then go back and see how they interplay with each other. So that will take the review process and slow it down a bit.
Sure. Sure.
I guess I would... Yes, we didn't want to overly, the prior status of the general provisions, particularly since we, what the status of the final agreement or the committee agreement was on the general provisions, they were never finally approved on that language, let alone then the memoranda explaining them. So, because of that, I hear that as kind of a practical matter, right? Like, what I hear you saying is like, look, I went through this before, thought through this, right? And so that's my stepping off point,
and
you to like then look at this.
You're asking for just the code, though, not for the memoranda.
No, I'm just looking for what language changed
in
from what we had previously discussed was made here. Because to be quite honest about it.
Yeah,
I'm more comfortable talking about offense language. This stuff, I know I met with you guys separately to understand the discussion where we were 3 months ago, whenever it was that we did this. And so a change in a word, I may not fully understand, to be quite honest, the impact of that.
Sure.
And well, I'm afraid I'm going to miss it, so I really need to go through this. And it's not like anybody in my office is an expert on this that I could say, great, Bob, you do this because you're the recklessness guy.
Right.
You know? Are doing it because they're expert. I'm going to go apeshit when I have to bring to their attention. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The thing I told you you could depend on,
sure.
And then you're just going to be giving these reports that are based on that layer, has actually changed.
Sure.
So, and they're not going to trust that they can just rely on that. They're going to want to do that comparison. So I'm going to need to know exactly where the changes are. Because I can't, if they're in this, I can't just...
So I will note that the commentary was written to be self-sufficient and gives a full explanation and justification for every aspect of each individual provision. So it was written as a standalone and works in that manner.
What we could do is we could circulate the prior language with like just like the black letter here's the new and send a copy of the old language so you have those. Maybe we could do it side by side depending on formatting issues, or if not, at least like so that they're together in the same document. It'd be just a memo to you all to like kind of be, if it, as a helpful supplement.
That's all I'm asking about.
And I'm going to say, I think the side by side is the most helpful. Because if you got a person who's been, they've had their head in this, and they got bubbles, and they got markouts and all that stuff on it, for them to be able to take their thing, put it with that
and
one they're supposed to look at, and then this new thing, that's the easiest thing to do.
Right.
You got us under really, really pressed time.
Yeah. So we can do that. I will say, it'll work better for some areas than others, right? In other words, some things organizationally got kind of either put in their own section.
I'm not as concerned, quite frankly, with whether this piece is here or there, as much as what the language changes between here and there were.
Okay.
Because, again, I personally, for me, this is the roughest part.
Sure. Okay. Well, so what we'll do is we'll send around again just the black letter the draft statutory language from what's here in report number two, and we'll put the prior, the last version, last standing version, whatever status it may have had, the last standing version coming out from the work at the Sentencing Commission, and take a shot at matching it up, so it may not be
section by section.
Section by section, yeah. But you know, we'll try to match up the corresponding pieces, and just send that as a memo to you all, just for and I would emphasize that then too what Michael said about this the new what's out here now is intended to be kind of a standalone. It's in some ways obviously relied upon again the conversations that we previously had, but in some respects doesn't, right? Like again, like we've looked more at other jurisdictions, we've had to do these other kinds of things that that'll be useful. We'll get that out here within a week to help facilitate your kind of review.
Thank you.
You bet. Other comments or questions at this point? Again, understanding you may have been focused on the other, wrapping up the other piece, but
yeah. Yeah, one thing I should just say is that separate and apart from the comparison, it was helpful at least for us to look at it with a fresh set of eyes. It's been 4 years, I think, or since we addressed a lot of these issues.
Michael and Rachel are coming up on their 4 year
really?
Anniversary. Oh yes, believe it or not, wow. I'm past mine. Michael and Rachel come up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, it's and.
Who did film?
And 4 years from now, who knows?
This is so exactly.
That's crazy.
4 more years would work out perfectly.
It's all according to Dave's plan.
I mean, it's been a really, really long time. At least insofar as staff is concerned, for a lot of us, that was the beginning of of our careers, and. So now, 3.5 years later, things look quite a bit different. There have been intervening DCCA cases that were really important, and the statutory mandate.
Absolutely should have taken into consideration.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Before they were deciding.
You're saying 4 years ago.
You should have seen it.
No, I actually wasn't. I wasn't quite that clever.
Or mean.
You have to, but you also have to be mindful that if you've got a slow review going on, people have been slowly trudging along towards something that's in the future. You got to, if they're still working off of that document and their notes are there, you can't just willingly uproot it without giving them a roadmap.
Well, it's only 3 o'clock, but frankly, like, if there's not more group discussion now, I'm not sure it's kind of, I don't want to take more of your time. And so we'll recircle on the first. And again, in the interim, something comes up, just give us a call. Next week, our office might be a little bit sparsely populated,
you have no idea what next week will be like.
I figure you're incommunicado. I don't know what.
I'm the point person.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I can't even imagine what's going on at USA.
So, do you have to try to get down here?
Are you just living down here?
Because we're on here.
That is right, exactly.
Well, maybe, hold on, turn off recorders. Thank you all for a great meeting.
Thank you guys.
Close that, and then, once recorded.